Hi everybody, well thanks for joining us on New Life Church Crawley Stream. We're pleased that you're able to do that and we pray that what you've heard and participated in already has been an encouragement to you and strengthened your faith. We'd love to serve you, we'd love to support you, so please feel free to get in touch with us. All our details will come on screen. And as we just listen to today's message, we're going to pray and invite God, the Holy Spirit, to help us apply it to our own lives. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, and we pray that it would bring some comfort, strength, and encouragement into our lives that we may live as followers of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. They call it getting out of the wrong side of bed. You know that time when you're just out of sorts right from the start of the day, no matter what you do. Well, I think for lots of people, it feels as that they've been getting out of the wrong side of the bed for months. The most common statement, apart from you're on mute, I think of 2021 will be, I just want things to go back to normal. That's what I've heard so often. And when we think about life at the moment, we can feel the frustration. Maybe it's like that itch that you can't quite get to, the stuff that's just irritating you, that's just out of sorts, out of reach. If any of those things ring true for you, then you will appreciate what we're going to talk about today and the description of the people that gathered around one of the key leaders in the first half of the Bible, the Old Testament. It's a man called David, and he was in one of his lockdown periods, and you can find the description of it in 1 Samuel chapter 22. And it says this about him. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontent gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. The previous chapter had showed that his father-in-law, who was the king, had become very jealous of David's popularity and so was trying to kill him. And so David had to go on the run. And in fact, we learned that David was on the run for probably a total of 7 years. And so he was living this lockdown life and he ends up in this cave. The people who gathered around him, it said, were in debt, in distress and discontent. And maybe for some of you, one or more, maybe all of those things feel true in your life at the moment. Maybe you're feeling out of control. I have good news for you today that we don't have to live in a cave. We don't have to live in a lockdown life, even if our physical circumstances are dictating that. So what's it going to take to leave a lockdown life? I believe the story of David from this passage and a couple of others that we'll refer to help us see what it takes to leave a lockdown life. So firstly, to leave a lockdown life means we're going to have to stand our ground. How does a shepherd boy become a king? How do you get from the cave, from a cave to the crown? Well, Adullam for David represents a legitimate stage in his journey, but it wasn't the destination. When we watch some of these reality programs, they talk about the backstory. Even in the news, you may hear that phrase. What's the backstory? Well, David's backstory goes back in total maybe 15 years. David had been a shepherd boy and was anointed king of Israel by the prophet Samuel. But actually, it was up to 15 to 20 years before he was fully realized at that king. And in between that time, in that intervening period, David had to go some difficult journey. It wasn't a straight road for him. He spent up to 7 years running and hiding from this jealous father-in-law, despite the fact that it had been predicted that it had been king, despite the fact that he'd been anointed with king. He had to live for a period this lockdown life. But he also had to stand his ground on what he knew to be true and what he had heard from God and what he had seen. He had to stand his ground. And the temptation that David faced is one that we also face. Temptation is that we take things into our own hands, that we try to make things happen in our own strength and in our own timing. And David had learned this lesson. There's an incredible story in 1 Samuel chapter 24 where David is hiding in another cave. He's with his men and Saul is out on the hunt for David. He's taken in 3,000 soldiers and he's really determined to get David. But of course, the call of nature also was present with Saul. And so he went into this cave to go to the bathroom. It was the cave David was in. And his men are there and they see Saul coming in. And they're cheering him on to go and take Saul's life. He could have crept up behind Saul to slit his throat. But Saul's out of the way. He's going to be anointed king. He could easily walk out of the cave with David's head in his hands. And he would be king. People would recognize him as king. In fact, he had already had that word. I'm going to deliver your enemies into your hands. He had a verse for it. He had a promise for it. And the guys at the back of the cave are urging him on, go and do it. This is the day, David. Go for it. Take it into your own hands. When you walk out of the cave, you'll be king. And David begins to creep up behind Saul. He has a knife in his hands. The Bible says an interesting thing happens. At the last moment, he recognized, hang on a minute, this is the king. This is God's legitimate authority. It cannot possibly be the way for me to kill the king who's my father-in-law. The Bible says that actually his conscience got him at the last minute. There was some unease there. It didn't feel right that he should take things into his own hands, even though he could have, even though he had this promise. It just didn't make sense. He didn't want to rush ahead of God's timing. He recognized that Adullam may be a stage in the journey. But for us, and with David, it can't be a condition of our hearts. It can't even be a characteristic of the church. We can't get stuck in the stage where we gather around the problems. We have to focus on the promise as well and trust God's timing in it. Christianity can't be simply about, is there an answer to my problem? How can I meet this need? Now, we're not saying that needs aren't important. It's one of the reasons why we're starting the well-being group. It's one of the reasons why we're believing, because we know many people are facing anxiety, many people are facing fear, and so this 12-week course will be very helpful to people in dealing with some of those areas. So needs are important, but we can't get simply stuck in meeting needs. Otherwise, we become inward-looking. It's very easy to become insular, even in church, to become a little holy club. God is looking to do something in our lives, but it's not just focused on our current needs. God has an eternal purpose. He has a promise, a perspective that's beyond our current circumstances. And one of the things we're going to have to do is stand our ground in the promise and not go our own way. What does that involve for us? I think one of the things it involves for us is exactly what it did for David. Standing the ground means choosing to believe the truth of what God has already spoken. We may not feel it. Our emotions may be all over the place. But we choose to believe the truth of God's word, of his promises that he is loving, he's gracious, he's faithful, he's kind, he's forgiving. All the things that are the nature and character of God. And choosing to believe that our past mistakes, our failures, don't have to define us. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what guilt or shame you might be carrying. I don't know what's been said over your life. But it doesn't have to define you. Even if it's a stage in your journey, there is more for you. What people have said about you doesn't determine your future. God does. God's not primarily interested in your history, but your destiny. This may be a season to learn that God works all things for the good of those who love him. And that good, according to Romans 8, verse 28, is that our character is formed into the character of Christ, who knew what it was at times to face hiddenness. So if we're going to leave a lockdown life, the first thing that we have to do is stand our ground. Second thing that we have to do if we're going to leave a lockdown life is to serve a higher purpose. It seems that right throughout the world, every institution has been shaken to the core. Governments are left reeling, educational institutions, medical practices. So many people feel uncertain and don't know what the future holds. And so I want to suggest for a lot of people that actually some of the things that have become idols to them have been smashed. Maybe the idol of financial security. Maybe the idol of family. For some, the idol of leadership or church. Lots of things that maybe had become idols in their life have been smashed. So we have to realize that our significance and purpose is to serve a higher purpose. And that higher purpose is told later in the story. And it's to put the king on the throne. Let me read some more to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 12. A couple of verses that show some of the rest of the story. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verses 1 to 2. These were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was banished from the presence of Saul, son of Kish. They were among the warriors who helped him in battle. They were armed with bows and were able to shoot arrows or to sling stones right or left-handed. They were relatives of Saul from the tribe of Benjamin. Just stop there for a moment and consider. These were relatives of Saul, but they chose to serve a higher purpose. They didn't have an old loyalty to an old way of doing things. They saw that David had been anointed as king and they served him. It goes on to say, verse 23, these are the numbers of the men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him, as the Lord had said. Now this was a period of potentially 7 years, but from verse 23 onwards, there's a whole list of thousands of men who came to David's aid, who were armed and ready for battle. And the good news is, many of those men, part of that 400, came with them, and they were armed and ready for battle, because they'd stood their ground, and they were determined that they would put David on the throne. And part of that reading lists a number of men who were seen as David's mighty men. 2 Samuel 23 also lists some of those mighty men. Josheb, Eleazar, Shammah. All warriors who'd served their time in battle, who were armed and ready for battle. But two of them in particular, there's a phrase that's noted about them. That they stood the ground. You can read it in 2 Samuel chapter 23 verses 8 to 11. Two of the three stood their ground. They said, enough. We refuse to be pushed backwards because we know we're serving a higher purpose. We will continue to believe that David should be on the king despite the opposition that we face. We refuse to yield ground. We refuse to compromise. We will stand up against attack. These were the type of men who were armed and ready for battle. And this is what it says, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 38. Oh, these were fighting men who volunteered to serve in the ranks. They came to Hebron fully determined to make David king over all Israel. All the rest of the Israelites were also of one mind to make David king. Can you see that? Can you see that higher purpose was to get the king, the rightful king, back on the throne? And I think for us, that's as simple as God-centeredness. Maybe you need to stand your ground in some areas of truth. Not in an arrogant, aggressive or antagonistic way. I heard this week about an American church leader who had predicted that Donald Trump would get in for a second term. And he got it wrong. We know that. And he went on social media and apologized that he got it wrong for misleading people. And he said that he had multiple death threats on his life, that he had hundreds of emails abusing him and abusing his family. I don't think that's the character God wants of us. I don't think an arrogant, aggressive or antagonistic approach is standing their ground. Maybe the standing of the ground for you means a revelation of God's love. You need that fresh revelation of God's love. Or for some of you, the first time, an encounter, a God of love. Not a God who's got a big stick waiting to beat you, but a God of love. Maybe it's a new perspective on a God-given dream. Maybe you've had things years ago that have been said to you, spoken to you, that you've dreamed, that maybe even no one else knows. Maybe those closest to you don't know, but somewhere deep in your heart, you have what you believe to be a God-given dream. Maybe you need to stand your ground for that. Maybe for some of you, it's a fresh encounter with God, the Holy Spirit. Maybe your faith has become dry and weary and you're worn out. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest." Stand your ground for the truth that Jesus will meet you wherever you are, because he has a higher purpose. He wants to do something for you, but we have to have that approach of God-centeredness. We have to have that higher purpose of putting the king back in the throne. What did that involve for David? One of the things it involved, it says that they were fighting men who volunteered to serve in the ranks. These are men who risked their lives because they were gripped by God's purpose. Other versions say that they were fully determined to see God's rule. And that's the challenge that comes to us. So if we are going to stand our ground, fulfill the purpose, if we're going to leave a lockdown life, then somewhere along the line, we have to be fully determined to see God's rule, to be God-centered in our approach. Jesus himself said it. Don't worry about what you'll eat or what you drink or the things of life that maybe some of us have been worried about. He said, your priority, Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. God knows our needs. God knows our concerns. And next week we'll be beginning a series looking at anxiety, and we're doing 5 weeks on that on Sundays. We'll be looking at how we can keep that God focus and keep that centered and keep our thought life right, because it's very important. But it starts with us saying, I'm going to be God-centered. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, not as an addition, not as an add-on, not as a kind of insurance policy just in case, but having a heart for seeking that higher purpose of the kingdom of God. You may say, well, that's a difficult thing to do. Yes, it is. Which is why Jesus said there's a cost in following him. But he only asks us to do what he himself had done. Jesus says follow a higher purpose, because he understood what it meant to serve a higher purpose. Paul, the early church leader, records what is probably an early Christian poem or hymn in Philippians chapter 2, and he says, you should have the same attitude as Jesus Christ, who though he was equal with God, did not grasp it, did not hold on to it. Jesus had that relationship with the Father. He had glory and eternity, but the Bible says in Philippians 2 that he humbled himself, took a form of a servant. The fact that Jesus came, we've just celebrated it recently at Christmas, Jesus came in the form of a man, in the form of a baby for us. Divinity packed into humanity for us. He humbled himself. It says he became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient. And I wonder for you, where do you need to humble yourself? Maybe for some of you, you need to humble yourself by saying, I can't manage life on my own. I need God's help. I need to say yes to God. I need to live for a higher purpose. You can do that today. You can take that first step that begins that relationship with God, because he's planted the seed of eternity in our hearts. That's what the Bible says. So that seed, that longing that you feel for something more, for something greater, is what God has planted in you as part of your DNA. You can say yes to God today, and we'd love to help you take the next step. get in contact with us and we'll provide you with some resources. For others, humbling yourself, maybe participating in something involved in the church. It may be volunteering to serve in some way, because that's what it meant for these guys in First Chronicles. They fighting men who volunteered to serve in the ranks. Where do you need to humble yourself to serve and to serve others and not be focused simply on your needs and your circumstances and your problems? Maybe for some of you, you need to become obedient. Allow God and God the Holy Spirit to speak into those areas where you know you need to become obedient. And as we finish, I'd love to pray for you. I'm going to pray for God's empowering presence to help you stand your ground and to serve that higher purpose. So let's pray. Father, I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to us wherever we are listening to this now, that we might encounter your presence, your empowering presence, to get out of a lockdown life, whatever our physical circumstances, but in our heart and in our mindset, to leave a lockdown life by standing our ground for the truth that you have spoken over our lives, spoken in your word. And Father, that we might be people who serve a higher purpose. Holy Spirit, come and teach us what it means to volunteer, to serve, to humble ourselves, to come obedient, so that wherever we are in our spiritual journey, our next step is saying yes to you. We pray for the courage to do that. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Continue to enjoy the rest of the stream. And if we can be of service to you, please get in contact. Please join with us on Zoom after the stream. Again, all the details will come up on screen for you. Would love to serve you. Would love to pray with you. Would love the opportunity to support you. God bless you.